Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to podcast number 110. I'm joined by my buddy Dennis, as always. How you doing, Den?
Good, Doug. How you doing this week?
I'm doing wonderful. Computers work great. Everything is wonderful in the universe today. You would never know that things go wrong.
Gotta love technology, right?
Oh, my God. It's never ending, man. But here we are again. We're sitting at the bar. I'm going to have a double Bloody Mary this morning. Hold the tomato juice, pretty much. But I'm glad to be recorded again. Hope all our buddies out there are going to enjoy the show. So we're going to talk a little news, and then we'll go into a little studio talk. So what do you got for news this week, Den?
We got a lot of news. It's hitting the Disney parks. Speaking of Bloody Marys, over at Disney's Animal Kingdom, they're offering four new Bloody Marys at the Dawa Bar, is that how you say that, in Harambe Village?
I don't care. Send me a text. Give me the exact spelling, and I'm on my way.
Yeah, there's four of them. They're kind of African-themed, I guess you'd call it. But the Discovery Island Bloody Mary is Grey Goose Vodka, Bloody Mary mix, lime juice, olive juice, sorry, Doug, garnished with parsley and a skewer of mozzarella cheese, tomato, basil, and stuffed olive. And again, I won't go into all four of them, but looking on the Disney blog here, it's pretty nice. So if you get in the Animal Kingdom early and you want to grab yourself a Bloody Mary, you can do that at the Daiwa Bar now.
I think at this point, then, I would have a double shot with olive in it.
One of those days.
And a side of lamb.
Yes. excuse me. Also, some the full event schedule for the Villains Unleashed that's going to be coming up on August 23rd, which is next Saturday, I believe, or this coming Saturday, I should say. They release the entertainment. There's going to be Hades Hangout at the Sorcerer Hat stage, 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. Oogie Boogie's Freaky Funhouse show, which is in the Theater of the Stars. It's going to be shown at 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, and 11:30. Guardians of the Galaxy, awesome mixtape dance party. That'll be held at the Stage 5 Animation Courtyard, and that's going to run from 8 p.m. to 12:45 a.m. Fantasmic with a special pre-show, 10 o'clock showtime. Pre-show starts at 9:35. And they're going to top that off with a fireworks show called Villainy in the Sky, and that'll be at 12:45 a.m. So if you're staying anywhere around the studios on that evening, if you're turned in early, you may be awakened by these fireworks at 12:45 in the morning.
That'll be fun, though. That's what you're there for.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll tell you what, the rooms there, I will say pretty much Disney rooms are pretty much like a safe. Do you ever really hear noise unless somebody's running like right by your window or the toilet?
Yeah, no.
The toilets flushing at Riverside get annoying.
Yeah, I mean, I think they do a pretty good job at insulating the walls very well to try to cut down on that noise. You know, coming through the walls, if you will. And I think as you go up in, from the moderates to the deluxe, it gets even better. But by and large, you're right, Doug. They are pretty quiet considering all the noise and stuff that can be going on outside your room with kids and people screaming and running and every other thing.
Right. With all the hurricane proofing and everything down there, I mean, there's been times where we've slept through storms that we've woken up and it's like flooded outside, and you'll hear people tell you how bad it came down. I never even heard a drop.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I've stayed at Pop Century during two hurricanes, and it was so bad that the water was coming down, or the rain was coming down sideways, I should say, and it did wet the carpet. It actually blew through the seal of the door, if you will, in the hotel, in the room that I was in. But I mean, as far as from a noise perspective, you would have never known there was anything going on outside.
No, they really build them hotels to last. I mean, really, they are built well.
Yes. I agree.
I mean, yeah, so I, you know, we've been through many of storms down there. You know, you can't go to Florida in the summertime without sitting through a major, major storm at one point or another if you've been down there enough. But you don't hear much in the rooms. You feel pretty safe. If you don't know what's going on outside, a lot of times you won't know what's going on outside.
Right. And like I said, the times that I was there during the hurricanes, they did shut the parks down for that particular day, and everybody was kind of quarantined to their room, if you will. So it's the safest place to be, I would say, is inside the resorts themselves and the rooms. And to your point, they're very well built. So that's the place to go if it's storming out.
Absolutely. That's what I told my wife. If me and her move to Florida and we hear about a hurricane or tornadoes or something coming, we're just going to check into a Disney resort.
Yeah, you'd be pretty safe, I would reckon.
Well, the generators and everything else, you know, at least you'd have a place. You'd be misery loves company.
Yeah, I've told the story on our podcast before, but when I was down there during that hurricane, like I said, everyone was sequestered to their rooms, but the Pop Century Food Court was pretty much out of food. People were, you know, making their way over there, so I what did I do?
You were a bad boy and you went over to Contemporary.
Yeah, yeah. I had a rental car, so I made my way over to the Contemporary, and that was awesome. I mean, that full resort was running like nothing was happening. And I think I said this before, they actually staged the critical workers that they need on property to, you know, run the parks and not the parks, but the generators and all that stuff. And like I said, you could get a quick service meal. You could have a sit down meal. The bars were open. I mean, it was awesome. I spent the whole day over there, and they actually brought a bunch of the characters over there to entertain the kids. They had Mickey and Goofy, and they had pin trading and all kinds of stuff.
You were probably cutting in line, and poor little kids fighting you for Mickey's autograph.
Oh, I bowled them all over. I was in line. No, but no, it was pretty awesome. I mean, they made the best. I mean, again, everybody's time on vacation is so critical, and to lose a day really hurts. But, you know, Disney did the best they could to, you know, entertain the families and kids during a, you know, pretty significant storm outside. And obviously the parks are closed, so nobody can go anywhere. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, they did the same thing for us when I told you we were down there September 11th when the park was completely shut down. They did the best they could to entertain and keep people feeling secure under a horrible circumstance. It's a place to be if you're not going to be home, if you follow me, if you can't be home.
Absolutely.
So next piece of uplifting news.
Yeah, again, there's a whole bunch of more information in regards to this Villains Unleashed event, but I'm not going to give all the details. If you are going down, or you are down there now and you're going to partake in that event, sounds like it should be a pretty nice time over there at the studios. Let's see. To follow in our line of, it seems like every week we have a new announcement for something like this, but there is a new VIP series tour. This is called the Ultimate Day at Epcot's International Food and Wine Festival. And this is Disney is presenting a third offering in its range of Ultimate Day VIP experiences. Like I said, it's called the Ultimate Day at Epcot's International Food and Wine Festival. This particular package will cost you $399 per person, and it'll take you on a day of highlights at Epcot during the Food and Wine Festival. The tour includes a champagne and appetizer welcome at the VIP lounge in the Festival Center, a ride on Test Track, Soarin', Spaceship Earth, Seas with Nemo and Friends, a hosted beverage tasting at the VIP lounge, followed by a six-course tapas-style lunch with beverage pairings, a backstage tour of the land's greenhouses, a hosted tasting of three food and beverage pairings from the World Showcase Marketplace, VIP seating with champagne at the Eat to the Beat concert series in World Showcase, and reserve viewing location for Illuminations. You signing up, Doug?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna take my whole family, man. I just hit the Mega Million.
There you go.
I mean, it's if I had the money, it sounds like it's a nice day. Now, is park admission included in that or no?
It didn't say, but it's I would say.
I hope so.
Yeah. let's hope so. But I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't. But it didn't say in this particular news release, so I can't say one way or the other. But again, we've covered this. That, like I said, it's the third offering, I guess, of a different, an upcharge to have, experience the Food and Wine Festival in a slightly different way. And this is obviously by far the most expensive offering to date. Some people that have the means to participate, it'd be a good time. A little too rich for my blood, but that's just me.
I mean, that would have to be something for me, like it would, if we lived down there, like a honeymoon kind of deal, like an anniversary deal, for $800. It would have to be like a special anniversary present.
Yeah, that's almost like a once-in-a-lifetime deal or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds great. I mean, especially with that, because basically you're getting behind the scenes with the Living with the Land and all. That's a basic, that's a tour you can do alone, if you follow me, like separate.
Right.
Just that. And what I don't know what that is, but that's probably what, $70 a person or something like
that? Yeah, I know that's one of the cheaper ones, Doug. I don't know if it's quite that expensive. I was thinking it was around $39, $49, but it is, I think, of all the tours, one of the cheapest ones. But still, you're right, it's built into the package. So if you pull all those things out that you'd pay separately for, it maybe doesn't sound so outrageous, but it's still a good chunk of change.
If it's park admission with it, so there's $100 if you're only going to one day. You got to look at it that way. A one-day park ticket's $100.
Mm-hmm.
Say the land thing's $40, $50, which we don't know. So we'll say $150. And then when all the food and the behind, all the food and everything else, they are giving you quite a bit for your money. But if the park admission isn't included, then there's something wrong. If you're a season pass holder, it's not worth it.
Right.
But if it's a one-day deal for the year or something like that, I would love to do it because it sounds like a really good time, but it's too, like you said, it's too rich for my blood, too. It's $800 for you and your wife, because that ain't something you'd want to do by yourself.
No, I wouldn't think so. That's a deluxe experience, if you will. And, again, it'd be interesting to see how many people participate in this and what, we'll see. They'll adjust up or down. If it's popular, they'll do it some more and then some. If it's not, it'll go away like everything else.
Yeah, I don't know. They're here to stay. It'll sell. It'll sell like Harambe Nights. There's people that want to do this. It's Food and Wine, and it's the most popular thing they have going. I think Food and Wine is more popular than any event they have, period, even with all the Christmas stuff and all. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it has a wide appeal, to the foodies and, people or older people that tend to not want to, do thrill rides and stuff like that. It does. It has a huge appeal, and both for guests going there for vacation and certainly locals, it's a huge draw. And Disney is trying to maximize its profits, if you will, during the festival. And if, they're offering something like this, I'm sure they did some market research to tell them that there's interest in enough folks that would buy this package.
Yeah, I don't know. If I had the money, I'd be all over it because I think it would be a fun day for me and Brenda, And I think you and Sue would have a great time if you had it to just blow it on that.
Absolutely.
So it's a good thing for people who can afford it.
Yes.
It don't affect me one way or another, if you follow me, as of right now.
Yeah, because like you said, Doug, there's not really offering anything that you can't get just experiencing the festival. Yeah, you may not get as good a viewing location for illuminations, but again, if you, belly up to the rail there early enough, you're going to have a great view of illumination. So again, you can still do everything that's in that package pretty much, without paying anything extra than just your park admission for that day.
Yeah, it's either Victoria and Albert's or do that. So you decide. One or the other.
You're in that range, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Let's see. Moving along here, there was an update to the downtown Disney watercraft routes. Basically, this is following the opening of the new Marketplace boat dock at Downtown Disney. So it looks like that's either opened or it's going to open soon. Service is available daily between 10:30 a.m. and 11:30 p.m. the Red Route, the water taxi serving the West Side Dock, Pleasure Island Dock, and Marketplace Dock. Yellow Route is the Sarsaparilla River Cruise to and from Disney's Port Orleans French Quarter and Riverside. Green Route, West Side to and from Old Key West. And the Blue Route, West Side to and from Saratoga Springs Resort. So we're starting to see some of this stuff actually open up, and Disney Springs is well underway and starting to open in small segments.
And segments. Well, for our Boston-speaking followers and for our American-speaking followers,
even our
our English-speaking followers,
even our good friends over in Germany, they know exactly
what
I'm saying.
And the UK, buddy. But I want to say it in English for the UK.
Okay.
But anyway, I can't wait, dude. That's what we're doing Friday night. The first night we get there, after I drop off Mama G's stuff, my customer, I want to come back to the resort. I'm going to hop on the Sarsaparilla River ride on the boat. I'm going to head to downtown, and I cannot wait.
Well, like I said, me neither, and it'll be exciting to see the new stuff. But again, I just caution you, as much stuff as is opening, I should say, it's still it's like a mouse maze down there. They got construction walls everywhere, and I was reading somewhere that, you know, some people, and I think you mentioned that your wife is doesn't do well in crowds. It is kind of claustrophobic in that there's pathways.
They're outdoor mazes.
Yeah.
They're walls put up.
Yeah.
They're construction walls. It'll kind of be like probably something like walking through Soarin'.
Exactly. You can't see either side of you, and if the crowds are big and there's a lot of people there, I mean, I know I experienced when I was down there last time, it's a little disorienting, too. I mean, you know what direction you're going in, obviously, but it's just not the familiar sight lines that you're used to seeing.
Yeah, well, we're going to get on that boat, head to downtown, and I'm going right over to Wolfgang's to get a spicy chicken pizza, brother.
Hey, there you go.
That's my Friday night goal. I don't care what time it is. I told the girls, if you've got to go to bed, I'll bring you back a slice. But I'm getting on that boat.
Maybe if you don't eat it on the way back.
No, I'm not that bad. I'll be full by the time I bring the takeout box home.
Yeah, there you go.
But, getting on that boat is... I'm looking forward to that as much as anything else, just running down that Sarsaparilla River.
Yep, it's the little things at Disney World that make us so happy, and that's definitely one of them.
Absolutely.
Moving right along here, a bit of sad news, I guess. The Sunrise Safari Tour at Disney's Animal Kingdom to be discontinued. This is the tour which is offered to concierge guests staying at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. Takes you on an adventure through both the Animal Kingdom Lodge and Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park. The 2.5-hour tour costs $75 for adults, $40 for children, and includes breakfast, buffet, and Peace Safari in the park. So if you haven't done this yet, you have until December 28th to partake. It will be ending on that date. So I guess that's kind of sad. Not that I've ever done it, but it was on my bucket list, and it looks like I probably won't ever get to do this.
Yeah, it might be something that comes back, though, Dan. I think some of it might have to do with all the Avatar stuff going on.
Yeah, it could be. Maybe they just, they need to do things early in the morning or construction or whatever. So you very well may be right. I mean, I don't know how popular this is, whether it's always sold out or whether there's been waning popularity. I don't know. But, again, it sounds cool and it's pretty reasonable. I mean, with the prices we've been talking about, all the food and wine stuff, I mean, for $75 for an adult, that's pretty reasonable, I think. For you get a breakfast in the park, and all access to the lodge and the kingdom, and out there on the safari. So it, from a price perspective, it's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty popular from everything I've heard. I mean, because I've seen even like Samantha Brown and a lot of people talk about it and do it. If you follow me, because she did it on her one show.
Right.
She was reviewing the Animal Kingdom and did it, and I kind of think maybe it's just early in the morning with the construction now going on. It might be a little too much for the animals.
Very well could be, as we've mentioned before, and I think this is a great thing. I mean, Disney always has had the perspective that the animals come first, and I don't believe they would do anything that would, upset them in any way or stress them out so that, you know, they might get sick or what have you. So if that's the reason, that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and speaking of the animals, did you hear a new baby gorilla was born?
I did not.
Yeah, Disney, it's their fourth one. They just had a new baby gorilla. They haven't named them yet.
Ah.
But, yeah, they've had another baby gorilla born, and that's pretty rare. I mean, they're doing a pretty good job. I think when they had – and don't quote me on this. Nobody email me yelling at me. But I think when the first one was born, it was one of the first times, if not the first time, that one was born in captivity. Because they were having – you know, the silverback was having, you know, problems there for a while.
Yeah, so. I mean, you know, the what is it? Which trail are the gorillas on at Animal Kingdom, Doug? Do you recall?
Ain't it Rikiki Watch?
Well, no, it's not. That's the train out to the island.
But isn't it the walking? It's the walking trail by the Tree of Life when you go back around.
Correct.
Well, I thought that was all combined. Yeah. My bad.
No. Maybe I'm sorry to put you on the spot there. I'm terrible with names, as you know. I think it's the Pangani Trail, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, I mean, they do a great. They have a great program for the silverbacks, and you know, we did an in-depth podcast on this on one of my shows, and you know, they have several large adult males and, you know, females and stuff, and they have been able to have some baby gorillas born in captivity, so that's always neat to see in the exhibit itself, and sounds like they're adding another one, so that's awesome. I mean, he or she will probably be a teenager by then, as animals grow a lot quicker, but still it'll be nice to see that if they are on exhibit when I get down there.
Well, I got it from what the article read. The way I took it, it's a new male.
Next, we have the Disney Springs Marketplace Boat Dock and Walkway to Saratoga Springs opens. And if you remember, that was one of the first things that they started working on before the boat dock. The walkway looks beautiful. It's open, and it goes to my home resort, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, my buddy just told me he's staying there.
That particular part of Disney Springs is, you know, open and because that's my home resort over there. So it's exciting to see that. I mean, that was one of the first things that they started when they released that they were going to be, you know, redoing downtown Disney. So it's just nice to see some of these things, you know, come to be now. So looking forward to that. Also, the American Film Institute showcase is permanently closing at the end of this week. That's the exhibit at Disney Hollywood Studios that they had movie artifacts and stuff in there. It was part of the backlot tour, if you recall.
Yeah, it's where Tim the Toolman's Tower tractor was.
Right.
It's like, if they're getting ready not, I mean, what is the whole purpose of the backlot then?
Well, I was reading over the weekend. There's the rumor mill, if you will. I know this is a news segment, but we'll add a little rumor mill in here. But we covered this ourselves, and it's kind of generally out there. But it's probably pretty certain that they're going to rebrand and rename the whole studio. So I think getting rid of this, and with all the Star Wars and all the other stuff that's being talked about, I think that this is just another small little thing to kind of get away from the, you know, it's not a studio or a working studio anymore, as we well know. And I think this is just another incremental step in that direction.
Yeah, well, for everything we're hearing and talk and we've heard people talking about is that Idol was announced. I'm sure you're going to get on that with the news. That's closing at the end of this, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Idol is closing this month, actually. It was going to be open longer, but from what I see here, it looks like it's going to be closing on August 30th. The final show will be August 30th, so that's happening sooner than we expected.
Yeah, that's what I said, the end of this month, that's gone. And then Sounds Dangerous, has that ever been? I mean, has that been there even though it's closing?
Yeah, I don't think it's ever – I don't recall it being opened as that. I think they've used it for different, things that have come and gone. But no, I don't think that attraction's been operating in a couple of years, to be honest with you.
I'm just kidding. That's been closed in my eyes for 10 years now.
Well, it should have been if it wasn't.
I mean, it's one of the creepiest things ever. Like, I mean, I wouldn't even want to go over your house right now, Danny. I love you, buddy, but I would not even want to put your headphones on my ears.
Yeah.
It just creeped me out putting them. I don't never got that right.
Right.
That, I mean, that show, ride, whatever you want to call it, it never did anything for me.
Yeah, it was weird.
And I'm a Drew Carey fan, but that was just, it was a creepy thing, man.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Let's see here. Moving right along so we can get to our show this week. The newly refurbished Captain Cook's reopens at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. And there's pictures out there and videos on YouTube and stuff. But it looks beautiful. I don't know if you've seen the pictures, Doug.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's the resort's quick service restaurant. It's been refurbished throughout with new flooring, wall coverings, chairs, artwork, and light fixtures. Other notable changes include the removal of the touch screen ordering system, the Dole Whip machine, and much of the baked goods selection. The grab-and-go case items with some cupcakes, ice cream, sandwiches, and salads are still available. Each order is now taken by a cast member near the menu board who issues a guest with a ticket, which is taken along with other grab-and-go items to the register to pay. Captain's Cook will soon be joined by a dedicated Dole Whip kiosk and a new lounge, Trader Sam's. So, again, nice to see that they're making progress over there. I know a lot of people are disappointed that their Polynesian is under so much construction. But, again, as things open, it'll be beautiful, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, if me and Brenda and Donna can, I might take a ride on the monorail over there one of the days and do lunch if we get it. You know, maybe just check it out, grab a snack and, you know, roam over there if I have time. But the Polynesian's kind of like Riverside. I think the Polynesian has like a cult following, not a cult following, but like a loyal following like Riverside does. It's like, I think Polynesian has people that just want to keep coming back to it.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Riverside does.
I agree. I think that it has that exotic, feel to it. And, you know, especially if you're from the Northeast or Midwest or whatever, without going out of the country or down to the Bahamas or something like that, you can really feel like you're getting away from it. And it's, I don't know, I find the music soothing and just the whole atmosphere, laid-back atmosphere, similar to Riverside, like you say, Doug. So I agree. I think that's a favorite of many folks. And, even those of us that have never stayed there, myself included, I spend tons of time over there each trip.
I just think it has, out of the deluxe resorts, it has the most, that and the Animal Kingdom, I'd say, have the most, I'm sorry, Wilderness is pretty good, too. They have the most homely feeling, like you feel like you're home in a way. Like Riverside, it's like it has like a home feeling to it. It's like a laid back, you feel comfortable there. Some of the other resorts, I like the Yacht and Beach Club, but when I'm there, I feel out of place.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's what John Peters was saying last week on the show, that he, although he enjoyed the beach club, I believe he stayed.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, but
we go there all the time. Right. Every trip, I'm inside the beach club.
Right, but he didn't particularly feel warm and fuzzy staying there, I believe, is the way he characterized it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful resort. It just don't seem like, I don't know. It's not as, like, you're walking by people, and it's kind of like everybody's a little more standoffish. Like, at Riverside, everybody's, good morning, how you doing? Like, when we're at the beach club, it's like nobody talks to you.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Especially after, the greeter there that used to be there for years, who retired, boy, it must be 3-4 years now. It kind of lost some of that, homey feeling, if you will. He used to really do a good job at greeting guests and making you feel welcome. They have greeters now, and I'm not saying they don't do a good job, but Art was, he was a legend.
He was the man.
Yeah, exactly. So when they lost that, I think it lost some of its charm. I've always told the story about the beach club because we always, even when we're not staying there, if we're walking to Epcot to go to the International Gateway, especially in the hot summer months when we've been there, we always cut through the beach club and walk through all the hallways and then go out the end door. And it always reminds me of the movie Shining, you know, when they look down the hallways and the kids riding the bike. Because the hallways go on forever, and they're the same, and you just keep taking a left and a right and a left and a right. I half expect to see a kid in a big wheel or a tricycle come hauling around the corner there, but that's just me.
Yeah, we've done that cut through a couple times, and it's tricky. You got to know where you're going to get through there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You can get turned around pretty easy.
Yeah, but if you know what you're doing, you can make your way out to the end there and through the little gate, and you're over the bridge to International Gateway.
You feel like you're cheating, like you're doing something illegal.
Right, right.
Fun stuff. Dun, 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 dun. Little Mission Impossible. Me and the wife sneaking through. We shouldn't be here, but we're doing it anyway.
Right. Moving right along here, for the fans of Figaro Fries or something very close, they're saying make a return to the Magic Kingdom. These are being offered at the Outpost, if you know where that is.
It's over by the Pirates on that side.
Yeah, if you keep going past Pirates, it'd be on your left if you were heading to Splash Mountain. And let's see what they're offering here. They have... fans of the legendary Pinocchio Village House Figaro Fries have had to wait for over 6 years for their return, but now the Golden Oak Outpost in Magic Kingdom's Frontierland has new loaded waffle fries offerings that closely resemble the original. For $5.99 each, there are four specialty waffle fries available: BLT waffle fries topped with bacon, lettuce, tomato, and ranch dressing; brown gravy and cheese waffle fries topped with brown gravy and white cheddar; barbecue pork waffle fries topped with barbecue pork and coleslaw; and a Tex-Mex waffle fry Tex-Mex waffle fries topped with black bean, cucumber relish, warm cheddar, and sliced jalapenos. What do you think of that?
It sounds like they got off the health kick a little bit.
You think?
Yeah. These healthy options are not going to be anymore. Now, they're still going to have them, but it sounds like they heard the crying for a little bit more of fun food.
Right, right. Well, you know, to be honest with you, I'm happy they're using the Outpost, because every time I go by it, it's closed. I don't think I've ever seen it open, to be honest with you.
No, it's rare to, you know, it's few and far between. At Christmas time, it was open for us the 1 year, and that's about it. You know, you have to be down there at smash time for it to be open.
Right. So I guess that's good. They're going to offer this. I mean, again, I hate to see an empty building or, you know, a building that's not occupied or whatever. It's just kind of sad, and it takes away from the atmosphere. So good to see. Good to see they're going to utilize that. I don't know if I'll partake in one of them, but if anybody does, that's where you can get them.
If I were to, it would be without my wife watching, because she wouldn't allow that. But, you know, up here in the Northeast, we would call that forget about it. You're on vacation.
Right, right.
That's forget about it food.
There are no calories in that.
No. And, Disney, you do burn them, so.
Right. And that's pretty much going to do it for news this week. There's a lot happening, and it seems like every week there's more and more coming out. But we'll keep you guys posted with all the happenings down there in Disney World. And what do we got, Doug, this week for a show topic?
We're going to go a little bit into to continue kind of the news and rumors. We're going to continue on all the stuff that's been coming out about the studios. And what you think about it then. You know, we want to cover that because there's been a lot of topics going on about Star Wars and what's closing, what's coming. Are you happy about it? You happy with the direction? There's some other rumors about, from what we heard, that definitely for sure now that, like, Maelstrom's going down over at Epcot. It's going to be Frozen. What's your thoughts on that real quick before we get back to the studio?
Yeah, I mean, Maelstrom is one of my favorite attractions, so I hope that that's not accurate and that it remains in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I wouldn't really have an issue with adding a frozen element to it, one of the show scenes, or, you know, take out the polar bear and make that all frozen, if you will, that corner when you go by on the boat. But if they
maybe that becomes Olaf.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. They already have kind of the frozen look to it with the rocks and what have you. So with a little bit of work, they could probably, you know, throw Olaf in there and some of the other characters from the movies. I'd be fine with that, you know. Maybe do a refurb of some of the trolls and other show scenes. But I'd really be disappointed in Disney management, if you will, if they totally, you know, get rid of Maelstrom and put in a Frozen attraction, if you will. I mean, you know, movies come and go, and as popular as Frozen is, I get it. You know, they want to maximize their profits on that. But looking at the big picture and what Epcot is supposed to represent, and it's, you know, pretty much supposed to represent each of the countries and stuff like that, I think they should stick to those core values. And, you know, will Frozen be the big buzz that it is 10 years from now? You know, who knows if they make more movies, but you know, Norway has been there and will be there, and I think it'd be a shame to lose that attraction.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I think it's going to go. I think they're looking to add something more for kids in that World Showcase to try to make it more kid friendly back there, because it's really not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the park has always had the, you know, what do they call it, edutainment. It's always been, you know, and you've told your story that, you know, you really didn't care for Epcot your first time down there because you just blew through it and didn't really understand what it was all about. And you're right, it doesn't have the same appeal or eye candy as the Magic Kingdom does or something like that. But if you really, you know, explore and you're into, you know, learning things and talking to cast members and experiencing things other than just attractions, I mean, it's awesome in my view. So
no, it's my favorite park now, but the thing of it was with Epcot is when we first blew through there, we didn't realize half the stuff what was in the buildings, because everything is hidden.
Right.
You got to explore to find it. It's the same thing that we talk about with the Animal Kingdom. Like, you don't realize what's in all interventions. Or living with the land, you see Nestle. Or back at the time, it was Nestle's.
Right.
Chocolate.
Right.
And we didn't realize there was three rides inside the Nestle building. We're like, what's Nestle's? And then we seen Kodak, and you didn't realize it. There was more stuff inside of every building. So we, like, all you see it is in the future world, all you see is buildings, really. You're not realizing all the stuff that's hidden in them. And then back in World Showcase, you don't realize what's at each country until you got to explore.
Right. No, there's no doubt about it. But, I look at it from this perspective. You know, Disney World is the size of Manhattan, roughly, and there's something for everyone there. And, you know, you have the Magic Kingdom that's, you know, kid, you know, it's designed for kids, although we all have our favorites and we love going to the Magic Kingdom. But I don't think you have to necessarily turn Epcot. I'm not saying that you're suggesting that they turn it into the Magic Kingdom, but I don't think it needs to have you know, kid-friendly rides, if you will. I mean, you know, we don't need a Dumbo the Elephant in Norway,
well,
and I'm being facetious, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, but that's why they put in Nemo. That's why that went in. I mean, that's totally different than what Living with the Seas is before before Nemo went in there. Look at the two difference in that ride. Now kids flock to that.
Yeah, because they're recognizable characters, no doubt about it. And again, I'm not saying you're wrong. I mean, I tend to agree that what you're saying is probably going to happen, but I just think it's a shame because they're getting away from what the original, at least, well, not even Walt's vision, but at least the Imagineers at the time, what their vision was of World Showcase. I mean, to me, if anything, I'd push the Frozen stuff up towards Future World, keep it up there somewhere, and leave the World Showcase. You know, I know it needs to be upgraded and technology needs to change. I'm not sitting here saying, you know, I don't ever want anything to change in World Showcase, but to bring movie characters in like that to the World Showcase, in my view, is going to start a trend that I don't particularly care for.
Yeah, well, let's not just totally pin this on Disney. This whole might be Norway behind it because they're looking for tourism, and the more people that go in there with their kids, I mean, it's a match made in heaven for them. I mean, it's automatic advertising Frozen for Norway.
Yeah, well, again, depending on what you read and what you believe, I mean, I've heard that Disney is kind of at odds with Norway right now because they're holding them hostage, saying that if you don't pay to upgrade your pavilion, then we're going to come in and change it to frozen. So I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the rumor mill out there, that they've been negotiating with representatives from Norway and kind of strong arming them into, you know, investing millions more dollars into their pavilion. And if they don't, then Disney says, well, we're going to do this, which I don't know if that's right either.
No, I think what's going to end up happening is the same thing they have with the three Caballeros at Mexico. It's going to be a little bit of both. You're going to see the wonderful world of Norway and the Frozen characters put into it. But I think it's going to be – I think the ride mechanism might stay the same, but I think they're totally going to change the entire show out. I don't even think and they're probably going to take away the movie area.
That'd be all right with me. I mean, if they want to do something where the movie is, and again, they want to do a Frozen stage show or something or whatever, I'd be fine with that. I just, you know, would like to see as much as the original Maelstrom attraction stay as possible, but I think I'm in the minority on that one.
No, I like it the way it is too, but I can see it being updated. I mean, it is, I would like to see more things in there. Like, it needs a little bit more show. I do agree it needs to be updated. Like, more things from Norway could actually be shown on that ride. Mm-hmm. It's not much. I mean, especially where the oil rigs are and stuff like that.
Right.
It could be a little more lively in there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd be fine with them saying, you know what, we're going to redo the whole Norway, you know, the whole Maelstrom ride with, you know, update the show scenes. We're going to put, you know, new audio or some audio.
Like the test track update, something like that. Keep the same ride mechanism, but update it, make it better.
Right. Yeah, because you're right. The ride vehicles and the track layout and everything, that's awesome. And how you kind of poke outside there for a little bit. And, I mean, it's very well done. And I agree, there'd be no reason to change the track or the ride vehicles, in my view. But the show scenes themselves within could certainly be updated, upgraded. And I'm fine with that, really. I don't have a problem at all. I mean, that polar bear, how old is he now? It's been there since park opening or whatever. He's getting a little long in the tooth.
I'm going to take a picture of him this time because he might not be there my next time I'm down there.
Yeah, right.
Because I think this is going to be sooner than later. Because right now it seems like before we hop over to the studios, because we're basically talking about things that are going to be taken away, the rumors and what's coming in all the park, because we talked about downtown a little bit. We're happy that's finally coming around. But Universal Studios, as much as you hate it, they are really putting the pressure on Disney right now, because they're not joking around. Multiple hotels. I know you heard about the water park.
Vaguely.
They're planning on putting in – they're spending $250,000 to build a water park down there.
$250 million, you mean?
$250 million, $250,000, that would be nothing. Yeah, but they're spending $250 million to put in a new water park.
God.
I mean, it's supposed to be better if you combine both Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach together. That's how crazy this new water park's supposed to be.
Yeah. And just...
Plus, multiple hotels are coming. They're like – I think Disney thought that Universal Wallet was going to close, and apparently it's not.
No, and again, I mean, I wouldn't go so far to say I hate Universal Studios. I mean, I think they do a good job for what they do. I just don't particularly like to spend time over there. But what I will say is the good side of this is it's going to push Disney and push the Imagineers to come up and be creative and, you know, at least stay on par or exceed what Universal's doing. So I look at it as a good thing. I'll never go. I shouldn't say I'll never go there. I won't, you know, flock to go there because they open up this water park you just spoke about or whatever. But if it makes Disney do something at, you know, where I love to go to compete with that, then that's awesome. That's a win-win for everyone.
Absolutely. They're really Disney is Disney, from everything I've read, seen the Orlando Sentinel, a lot of articles I've read, listening to Jim Hill talk and things like that. They're really noticing the bottom line right now because Universal's cutting into their profits. The one thing I will say that I like better about Universal than Disney, and I will give them credit for it, is the difference between – like their tickets sharply drop after the first day compared to what Disney's do. And I'm hoping that Universal's point, you know, because they charge the same for a one-day ticket, but their second and third-day tickets are much cheaper than what Disney's are, and I'm hoping even that pushes Disney to stop demand this with the ticket prices.
Well, yeah, but that's partly, I mean, I remember years ago when we did do the Universal Parks and SeaWorld and all that, that's because most Disney guests, if they even went over to Universal at all, would go for one day. And then when they opened the second park, you know, they had that two-day ticket. But I remember when we went, and you're right, Doug, I think if you bought a one-day ticket, I'm pretty sure this is accurate. The second day was free, or it was you know, 99 cents or something. It was stupid, but the bottom line was they wanted to keep guests in their parks buying food and merchandise, blah blah blah. So I think part of the reason their ticket structure has been, you know, at least it looks more favorable than Disney's. I mean, Disney has 4 complete theme parks, 2 water parks, and all kinds of other things. Universal didn't have that, so they would almost give away the second and third day because, they, you know, if you chose to stay there and spend money at, you know, in their stores and their restaurants, they figured it was a win for them.
Yeah, it's not that cheap as 99, but it's drastically cheaper than what Disney prices are for if you're going to go for a 4-day visit down there. It's a lot much cheaper to go to Universal for 4 days than it is to Disney.
Right.
And now with their new hotels, my one friend, Mama G, who I'm going to drop her stuff off, her and her kid just went there for 2 days and they stayed at I can't even think now.
Portofino Bay.
Yeah, they stayed there, and she was saying how absolutely gorgeous that is, and the way they treat you. And she said they're very good. They've also got the Disney differences. They're getting to treat their guests
right
because they've stole so many. They stole a lot of the upper management from Disney to train their cast members over there, or whatever they call their employees.
Right. Well, yeah, but it's interesting. You mentioned the folks that went over to Universal, but they only stayed 2 days. And again, that's why. And I know I was saying 99 cents. That was 15, 20 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
I wasn't suggesting that that's what it is today. But again, they're so, you know, as Disney does. I mean, Universal would love you to stay a third and a fourth and a fifth day, but the reality of it is they only have the 2 theme parks. To your point, though, as they build this massive water park, okay, maybe a family now, it's a 3-day visit to Universal, and, you know, gradually that eats away at a week-long vacation, and that will affect Disney as far as the bottom line. Well, so there's no doubt.
And as crazy as people are about Harry Potter and Diagon Alley and all that, then, you know, you're talking each of those parks are a couple-day park if you're only going there once a year, because you're going to want to do a bunch of the Harry Potter things multiple days. So it's feasible to stay there for a week now compared to what it was before, especially with you got all the restaurants, and you got – there's so much going on down there now.
Yeah.
And they're buying more property, and they're – like I said, I think I read something about 4 or 5 more hotels coming there.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, and don't get me wrong. I mean, their City Walk is beautiful. I mean, they got
gorgeous.
The Jimmy Buffett, and they got the Emerald – 2 Emerald Emerald Lagasse restaurants there. I forget.
Food's awesome there.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot going for them, and you know – again, it's just personal preference. I prefer to spend my time at Disney, but I'm sure a lot of folks are going to head over there and have headed over there. And if it makes the line shorter at Disney, go over there.
Yeah, well, it makes 2 of us then. But that's the reason why we're getting Avatar Land right now, I think. That's the reason why after Fantasyland, Disney didn't sit on their laurels. And, like, they can't no more. And I think that's why you're getting Avatar Land, and I think that's why you're hearing of – when's the last time there's been work going on at all 4 parks?
Yeah, you're right. That's when you really think about it, all 4 parks plus Downtown Disney. I mean, it's but again, the consumer is going to be the winner in this because there's going to be new technology, new attractions, new things to do, and it just keeps – you know, as with anything in life, competition – creates – it brings out the best in everyone and every trade, whatever it is. So it's only going to make it better for people that love Disney, people that love Universal, or both.
For Central Florida, it's like heaven if you're a theme park follower right now. I mean, how much better can it get?
Right, exactly.
I mean, speaking of the studios, now we're hearing that, like we said earlier, American Idol's closing – half the back lot's closing now. I mean, all you're going to have is the back lot. Nothing else is going to be open. So basically, you're going to be riding and getting shot by a gusher.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, we covered this a little bit earlier in the news. I mean, it just appears to me with what we've been hearing and what we've been seeing at the studios is incrementally each of these attractions closes and they alter the offerings at the studios, that there's going to be huge changes. And again, nothing's official. This is all just speculation on everybody's part, but the Star Wars and Marvel and different things that are coming. I mean, the rumor that is out there now that they're actually going to be changing the name of the park. And again, folks, this is just rumor. Don't hold us to this or send emails to Doug because he gets upset when he gets nasty emails. But
no, I take an email.
I'm only kidding. But no, in all seriousness, I think the studios is going to be in for a huge facelift. And Jim Hill Media, or Jim Hill, I should say, on Jim Hill Media on Twitter, he's been making the rounds on some of the podcasts and actually appeared on the Disney Dish with starring Jim Hill with the podcast with Len Tester. And he proclaims that his sources are telling him that the Great Movie Ride is going to go away, not rethemed, not changed, not, buffed up, if you will, but it's literally going away as part of this Star Wars slash whatever goes in there. So, I mean, if he's correct, and he tends to be in the know with this stuff, that's a huge change to the studios, and a sad one in my view, but nevertheless, that's what he's putting out there.
Now, as far as the theme park goes, it would break my heart to see that go, because to me, that's equivalent to Spaceship Earth at Epcot, the Tree of Life, you know, and Tough to Be a Bug at Animal Kingdom, and Pirates to me, or the castle. I mean, that's like the main attraction of Hollywood Studios, not Tower of Terror, not Rock and Roller Coaster, Toy Story, but the Great Movie Ride to me is the symbol of the studios. So if you take that out, you might as well change the name.
Right, and I think that's the whole point, Doug, that, if that is indeed true, that they certainly are going to change the name and retheme, pretty much the whole studios. And, again, I think it's a generational thing, too, and that, I agree with you. I love the Great Movie Ride, and it's one of the one attraction that I definitely go on each and every time I go to the studios. But if you talk to a 20-something, they're not going to say the Great Movie Ride. They're going to say Tower of Terror. They're going to say Rock and Roller Coaster, maybe Star Tours if they're really into Star Wars. But, we've been going to the studio since it opened, and we love the Great Movie Ride. But I don't necessarily think that somebody maybe that's 30 and under really cares about the Great Movie Ride, to be honest with you.
No, but I think it's the Disney geeks. It's going to go, and I'll move on because – I mean, the way I look at it is as much as that park needs work, I'll be behind it, and they might as well change it because they're never going to do another movie there.
No.
Unless it's a movie that's covering Walt Disney World and they have to shoot it there because something happens or somebody, they're doing something about the parks in a movie,
right.
But I don't see them ever shooting an actual movie there ever again. And half the rides are antiquated or not working or shut down anyway.
Right. And again, I think all of that, I believe Disney has been aware of this plan to retheme this park for probably several years now as they acquired all these companies, Marvel and Star Wars and all that. So, why invest money into, the last thing they really invested in was the refurb to the Star Tours, right, when they made it. So that you can have multiple experiences on it. I think,
different endings.
Yeah, as far as I remember, that's really been the last big thing they've done there. And other than the shows and the Frozen stuff that they're doing now, but that's all temporary stuff. That's stuff that could go away tomorrow. And they're not putting, concrete and rebar in the ground to, put something there that could withstand 20, 30 years of use. So I think they're doing things at the studio with the their eye on the big picture that, hey, all this is going to change in the next, 5 to 10 years or whatever. So let's not throw millions of dollars into, refurbing attractions or putting anything in there, do we have a firm, solid plan? I'm sure they have a plan. We just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, and then you also had Toy Story. They just, you know, that was done around a little bit around the same time as Star Tours.
Well, did that come first, I think?
They were close.
Yeah.
They were right around each other.
Right.
But, you know, it was, we were both happy that they got them two there because it would keep people in that park a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I think that kind of still makes sense, that whole Pixar place, because I think they could probably add in, what is it, the Cars attraction, the roller coaster that has been rumored to be going in the studios. They could probably keep the, you know, the Pixar area, Pixar place.
Yeah, well, I don't see that going anywhere. I mean, not at all.
Oh, no.
That's
going
to have to be expanded. I think it's going to be something like Hollywood Park or something like that. It's something different because it still could be Hollywood because you have Pixar. You're going to have Lucas, you're going to have Marvel. I mean, Star Wars with Lucas, you know, I mean, they bought Lucasfilms with all that stuff. So I think it still will have something to do with Hollywood or movies, or, but it won't be a studio per se.
Right. I think you, I don't remember if we spoke about this on our last show or you and I were talking off the air, but, you know, again, from what Jim said, they would still keep all of the buildings on Sunset Boulevard and Hollywood Boulevard and all that, which, you know, all date back and are, you know, replicas, if you will, of the actual buildings in Hollywood. So you're right. They probably will still work a Hollywood angle into whatever they do with the change because, you know, I can't see them taking those buildings down that line the streets as you walk into the park.
No, because basically it's everything in there is going to have something to do with Hollywood still, but it just won't be a studio anymore. So they're going to change it to Disney, I guess Walt Disney Hollywood something, or, you know what I mean, Hollywood Park.
Right, right.
Something like that, I would think. But, I mean, I'm happy. The only thing I was sad about is Indiana Jones apparently is not going anywhere either.
Yeah, that was – well, I didn't hear that piece. If you did, I'll go with that.
What I heard is they have so many commitments to it over the next couple of years because of the cheerleading and different events that's going on that they can't do anything because they're under contract for the next few years with that. They use that for so many things other than Indiana Jones.
Oh, you're talking about the stage and the
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that doesn't surprise me. And again, unless I'm mistaken, I believe when Disney bought Star Wars that the Indiana Jones franchise was part of that sale. So Disney owns it, so maybe they would retheme it or change it out and still offer an Indiana Jones-type experience.
Well, they've made new movie since that one. I mean, how about you make it a newer theme or actually change it? There's more that goes on in that movie than the ball rolling at people.
Right, but I mean, maybe they will do that. To your point, if they do use that facility for other things and it's profitable to them, maybe they close it and refurb it and put a whole new, you know, still have an Indiana Jones, you know, movie scene or set, if you will, but it'll just be different. I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll do that.
Or maybe they'll do something with Star Wars, some kind of stage show.
Yeah.
You never know.
Or maybe they'll put Frozen in there.
I don't see that.
No,
Frozen,
kidding.
I think, would go – I thought Frozen was going to go over where Beauty and the Beast was, but now from what I hear, they're doing a Beauty and the Beast new show that they're doing across the country. So why would you shut that down when you're doing that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's been there. It's been different things over the years. I mean, I've seen it a bunch of times. I actually like that show. I mean, as much as when I get ready to go in, I'm like, nah, man, this again. But I always come out of there saying, you know what? That was a pretty good show. So, but I'd change it out. I mean, they have so many, you know, so much to pull from their library of films and as successful Broadway shows, what have you. You know, in my view, it doesn't have to be Beauty and the Beast. It could be, you know, one of many things. So it's still a nice way to see a semi-Broadway production that's compressed down to a half-hour show or whatever it is. It's pretty good.
No, I've seen it multiple times. It's good. And I, like I said, with them going on with the this new show that they're putting out, I don't see that ending anytime soon. But that whole back area, from what I hear, construction is going to start as early 2015 on that back area.
Yeah, I mean, again, we've all said it. I mean, most people, except for Hochberg and a few others, I mean, the studios, unfortunately, is everybody's fourth park. It's always third or fourth, but for many people, it's fourth. And I agree with you. We've covered this before. We're not the biggest Star Wars fans, but if it's going to bring new technology, new attractions into the park, whether I necessarily relate to the characters or not, or are big fans of the characters, I mean, I'll be pleased to see new things and at the studios that will make it a bring it up to par with the other three theme parks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more for the Pixar area, but anything that they renew, anything to make that park newer, greater, and better is I'm on board with. I can't wait to talk about what the rumors are going to be, what they're actually going to build. Like, I'm dying to know what they're going to put in to replace the Great Movie Ride.
Yeah, well, it ought to be interesting because I'm terrible with this. I forget what the date is, but I think the next the D23 event is coming up within the next year, I believe. And usually at those things, they make some huge announcements. So maybe we'll get some concrete information, if you will, about what may be coming to the studios at the D23 event because, all the Disney executives are there, and they all like to, drop a nugget or two out there about what's coming the next or what's on the horizon, for the Disney parks and such. So maybe we'll find something out fairly soon.
Yeah, the thing I'm not happy about is I hope the Chinese theater don't go away, but there's a good, who knows with that, with the way they've been going back and forth with that.
Yeah, like we were talking off air during the week. I mean, as I understand it, Disney had the rights to use it, in their theme park for X amount of years, and then when it came up for renewal, they couldn't come to terms with, the folks that own that entity, if you will, out in California. So basically, I think it was not only when did the hack go in? During the Year of a Million Dreams, or was it? Might have been one of the things
I
before
think that
that.
was 2000,
Yeah.
2000, the
But
anniversary.
anyways, it was twofold as I am.
Millennium.
Yeah, I think you're right, Doug. It was during the millennium. But anyways, the purpose of the hat was twofold. It wasn't only to add a something spectacular to the studios, but it was also to hide the facade of the Grauman's theater there, so that when people are taking pictures or Disney puts out their daily park schedules that usually shows the park icon, that you can't see it. So that's why again, as I understand the story, that's why that sorcerer's hat is there. So that's hidden because Disney does not own the rights to it, or has not leased the rights to the Chinese theater. So you're right, Doug. That may be part of the reason why the Great Movie Ride would go away, and potentially the building itself.
Yeah, well, I hope not. I love the building and all. It's like, it's one of the icons. It's the Tree of Life. It's the ball of the spaceship Earth. It's the castle of that park, and it's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you'd have to have something in the center there, and to me, I think the sorcerer
You
hat.
might end up with Darth Vader.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? It wouldn't surprise me.
You never know, man. Who knows what's going to be there? You could have
Iron Man.
yeah. I would rather have that, but you don't know. You could have a big spaceship. You could have something Star Wars. Who knows what that?
Yep.
Time will only tell for that.
This is
I
true.
don't know what's going to happen there, but that'll be about it for this week's show. Dan, you got anything else you want to shout out, buddy?
No, we covered a lot. Just the listeners out there, if you please could leave us a review on iTunes, and we're on Podbean, www.mainstreet@podbean.com. You can find us on iTunes, and we're on Stitcher as well. So if you listen on any of those three mediums, please give us a review, and we appreciate you listening.
Absolutely, yeah. Podbean, Twitter, and iTunes, we're WDW Main Street now. We streamlined it so it's easier for you guys to find. And then if you want to hop over on our website to get the daily updates on what's going on, closures, stories, photos, you want to book a trip with us, hop over at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com or email us at wdwmmsmpodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for joining us again. You guys have a wonderful week, and we can't wait to talk to you next week. Be good, Dan, but not too good.
You too, Doug.
Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.